TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the Daily Stormer.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is the 10th of July 2015. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I'll just remind people that we do have a live stream, we do have a chat room, you can subscribe to our feed, you can download all of our podcasts at thedailystormer.com, and you'll find the Radio Stormer section in the sidebar underneath our publisher, Mr. Andrew Anglin's Twitter feed. Now that I've got our advertisements out of the way, I'll introduce my co-host, Mr. Dennis Wise. How are you doing today, Dennis?
Well, the sun is shining at last, so we've joined the human race for the summer now.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a glorious day today. I mean, I just love Britain in the summer, especially Wales. I mean, it's just a beautiful part of the country. It's got so much history. You know, and it's so far away from the big city. You know, it's far away from the Jews in London. That. Yeah.
I used to go to Aberystock when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Beaches were beautiful.
Yeah, they are beautiful, you know, nice long sandy beaches, and it doesn't get too busy, I find, Wales. It's, you know, it's not packed full of people and packed full of non-white skin. Although one of the things that does get me a bit is where people are so suntanned. I'm sort of driving about in my car and I catch sight of people and I think it's either a Negro or a Paki, and I start frowning and then I get a little bit closer and it's a white person with a suntan.
They have good lotion these days, just fake tans, you know.
Yeah, well, it's just so confusing.
Is Wales still shut on a Sunday, by the way?
No, but I wish it was. I wish it was. I think we really miss that. Having one day a week when people didn't have to work and there was peace and quiet. I mean, one of the things they're talking about doing now is allowing the Sunday opening to be 24 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah. It's a shame, really, that we're sort of getting rid of all our old traditions and customs.
Well, let's face it, Wales is occupied, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the whole of Europe is occupied. I mean, all world countries are occupied by these Jews. I mean, this sort of brings us to the subject of today's podcast. I mean, somebody suggested in the chat room last week that we do a podcast on the world's worst Jew. And I think, really, you've got so many to choose from. And so many different areas that they're involved in. It's very hard to whittle it down to there just being one worst Jew. I mean,
probably the only business they're not involved in is building roads and working hard.
Yeah, anything to do with hard work, and you won't actually find them.
I think you can go
right back to Herod. Who they call Herod the Great, who was an absolute monster. He was involved in incest. He murdered half of his family. He put to death all the original genuine holy men. He put them all to death. 8,000 people.
Quite normal.
Yeah, well, 8,000 people. When he died, 8,000 people went to Caesar as witnesses of these horrific crimes that he'd been involved in. I mean, the Bible tells you he put to death, you know, the Massacre of the Innocents, it's called, where he put to death all these babies. But that just sort of set the scene for his behaviour. And the Jews of today, they call him Herod the Great. You know, they see him as a role model that they should emulate. And it's just like, since then, everywhere they've been and everywhere they've gone, you know, they have brought evil and wickedness with them. I mean, I've been thinking of modern ones today, and we've got, you know, trying to work out which one is the most evil. You would have to think of which one has affected the most amount of people, and then you'd have to think of the degrees of wickedness that they were involved in. And you look at people like Sumner Redstone, And he owns the controlling shares in CBS, Viacom, Paramount, BET. So that means he runs MTV and he runs all these other TV stations. And a new program that MTV have got out at the moment is to do with white privilege and white guilt. I mean, it's not a shame to say that the program is all about trying to make white people feel guilty for being white.
Yeah, well, I think Hollywood's been like that for a long time, hasn't it, really? It's, I mean, you've got to be, like Hitler said at one point, the German nation itself is not quick or clever enough to actually handle these Jews, because they're on it 24/7. You know, they're devious, they change their names. If they live in Ireland, they change their name to Irish names. You know, if in Hollywood, you know, you never guess, because half the names are Christian. Who, for instance, would think Goldie Hawn was a Jew, and, you know, several others. They don't all have that trait, although they do have plastic surgery on the nose. But it's difficult because, you know, they are a race, like we said early on, like, you know, the race of accountants and bank managers, usually is an easy life for them. But by doing so, they live off usually the white Christians. So, I mean, sometimes I see the odd comments on YouTube and someone will say, like, what have the Jews ever done? I kind of have to grab the table, not fall off the chair, you know what I'm saying?
What have they not done? What have they not been involved in? You say they're accountants and usurers, but they're also whoremongers, drug pushers. I mean, they deal in organs now. You know, this
porn
is a new thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Which, you know, any industry which has a good turnover with the least amount of sweat, you will find behind that door a Jew.
Yeah, all the time. And then you say they cover these things up by changing their names, but they also get involved in philanthropy. They like to try and offset their wickedness with the occasional good deed. But even the good deeds aren't good deeds. I was just looking into it today, and if you look at the Wikipedia page for Sumner Redstone, talks about his philanthropy. He gives 1% of everything that he's owned. 1% is what he gives back to the people. Yeah. But the people he gives it back to are Negroes. Not to the people that he's ripped off, the white people in the white countries, but he invests in helping Negroes out so that there's even more Negroes. I mean, we've got enough of them by now.
Well, let's face it, Wikipedia is run by Jews as well, so...
Oh, yeah. Jewipedia.
I'm often getting people quoting Wikipedia, and I keep saying, will you not want Wikipedia? It's like, you know, how many times have I got to say? Even the great story were banned on there as well. Somebody put a link up and they came with some excuse for not showing it before YouTube came with an excuse for not showing it.
that's a point there. I haven't actually thought about that before. Has someone set up a Wikipedia page for the documentary?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they tried to use it as a source, but some bright spark stopped it and said like that it was untrustworthy.
Untrustworthy. Ah, right, using it as... they would do, wouldn't they? But have
of course they would. Oh, yeah, these are things going to be expected. It wouldn't be right if it didn't.
Have you got a proper page for it? Surely there must be a proper page. They've got a page for, for films and TV series. Surely there must be a proper Wikipedia page for it.
No, they stopped it.
Well, how can
just like Facebook stopped it. Just like YouTube.
Yeah, well, they just try to silence everyone, so they're thinking that people aren't going to find out about it. But we do know about it. I mean, once your mind is open up to this, you can see it everywhere.
They heard it's found in India.
In India? Now, that surprises me.
Well, it does surprise me because it was quite popular out there, but obviously there's some Jews in India. Well, they are everywhere, aren't they? Let's face it.
But they even have Hitler ice cream in India.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And they opened up a Hitler boutique, I think.
Yeah, and cafes and restaurants all through Asia.
They look at it as he kind of got them out of the slavery of the British Empire. because Britain couldn't afford it after the war, you know.
And also with the Aryan, I mean, we know Aryan means white people, and it's a racial term, but Aryan means honourable over there.
Yeah.
Because the white people over there were honourable. So it's an Indian term or a Hindu term. So that endeared them to National Socialism as well. And that does surprise me that they would be banning that over there. That really does.
I got told the other day, yeah. So there you go.
Have you got it in Indian subtitles?
Well, no, it's not subtitles, because a lot of them, obviously, with being in the Empire, a lot of them could speak English out there anyway, so I don't think they're too much of a problem, but they're just trying to squeeze it and suffocate it and choke it, you know, slowly and quietly. No one's making a big song and dance about it. They're just steadily shutting down various countries, and no doubt, you know, they'll start on the website soon. I went on a website the other day. I was looking for some information, which was kind of a website they wouldn't particularly want to be seen, and it comes up when you first find it comes up. If you go on this website, you've risks of getting the virus and all this kind of carry on. I mean, I still went on it because I know what they're like, but the ordinary person, you know, looking for a certain website who sees that isn't going to chance getting the virus, you know. They're clever at what they do. They did that with our Sunil's site, probably still doing it.
Yeah, so people think they're going to get a virus if they click on it to open up the page.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's all dirty tricks.
Big red page as well, you know, real danger kind of page, you know. Do not go on this website.
That's just the way they operate, isn't it? I mean, they like to just hide things. I mean, just to go back to where we were saying about how they hide with these different names, they also sort of go over the top trying to make themselves look like the nationality of the country that they're in. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but he's been on the television quite a lot just lately, but Richard Desmond is this Jewish pornographer. He was known as the porn baron in Britain. He was the one that used to sell all these pornographic magazines in the 70s and the 80s. He's not particularly fat, but he owns Channel 5, and he owns the Daily Express, and he's just written an autobiography. But he's been on the BBC, and he's been on Breakfast Television and a few chat shows. And every time he goes on there, he's dressed in a blue suit with a white shirt with a red tie. So he's dressed like the Union Jack, basically.
His
Jew is. And it just sort of conjured up the image. It's the perfect image of the Jew going over the top, trying to make himself look like the nation that he's living amongst. You know, dressing in the British flag to try and say, look, I'm just like you. You know, I'm British just like you. And he was talking about how he had this crisis of conscience when he set up his pornography empire, about whether he was going to be able to face the other Jews in the synagogue. He obviously didn't think about it too long, and obviously didn't have a problem, because he built up this massive porn empire.
Yeah, Hefner is another one, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if you look at all these pornographers, these big pornographers, they're all Jewish. And there was one of those,
homosexual and all.
It was one of them that said that the reason why they do it is to attack Christianity. And
no doubt.
I mean, they see white people as Christians. I mean, we were known as Christians before we were known as white people. And, I mean, really, a Christian should have been seen as a racial term, I think. I mean, then we'd be on a similar footing to the Jews.
Yeah.
This is the other thing. They'll try and pretend that they're just a religion, when we know that they are a race. They're
well, you can't get in race. Israel without checking, you know, that your DNA has got Jew in it, you know.
Well,
so it's got to be racial against Israel.
Well, I think you're working on something to do with exposing Israel at the moment, aren't you, Dennis?
Yeah, well, I've been working on part 9 for a while, and I get... Every now and again, I'll get a certain episode where I'll hit a wall, and Hollywood part 7 was the same. That really should have been part 5. But I like to get a flow going in my videos, even though it's 15 minutes. And if I can't get that flow going, you know, one thing leading into another and everything corresponding, then I've got to go through, you know, stops and starts. And sometimes I can spend a whole week on a certain section of that 15 minutes part. And by the time I've done it all and pieced it all together and put the music and everything, come the end of the week, I don't think it's worked. Then I have to go back to the drawing board again. But I've just been working on it this past couple of weeks, and things have started to roll. And like I was telling you earlier on, like I was up again late last night, because once I'm flowing, I don't like to be pulled away, because once I'm pulled away, I find it hard to get back in again. And once it flows, it flows. And so, yeah, it's practically finished, and it'll probably get banned. It's already, I put a, just to test what copyrights I may have against me, I put it up on YouTube in my private section. It's already banned in Germany. Word that one out. So, and it's brutal. It's brutal, and it's hard hitting, and a video on Israel can't be anything else, really.
So you've been sort of almost getting like writer's block on it then?
Yeah. I did it with, you know, in The Greatest Story as well, you know, but luckily that flowed pretty well. But every now and again, like, I hit a bit of a stumbling block. But then, you know, doors seemed to open once I started going down certain roads, which always give me the impression that we're being guided, to be honest. I know it might sound ridiculous to some people, but trust me, if you're in my shoes, 6.5 hour long, it was coming to me quite easy. At one point, music were fitting quite easy at one point, and I thought, this is crazy, you know what I mean? It's too good to be true. So, yeah, and the same thing with this one, with Communism by the Back Door. The trouble is with these kind of documentaries, it's difficult to get through all the layers of crap on the internet to get to the truth. So that can take time. But I'm quite happy at the moment. I mean, it's actually finished, but there's one or two things, just slight things need working on, like, you know, a bit of a soundtrack here and a bit of volume levels there. So it should be up quite shortly. But like I said, it could well be banned, because it's already banned in Germany, and it hasn't even been shown publicly yet.
Right, just ban anything that you make, I think, in Germany. Well,
yeah. Well, they're pretty safe on it being pro-German anyway, aren't they? So,
yeah. And so, we're talking about, you know, the most evil Jew, the most wicked Jew. I mean, to a Palestinian, I mean, the most wicked Jew is going to be the one that kills them in the IDF.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's irrelevant, you know, it's all a question of relevance here, isn't it? I mean, I was talking about Sumner Redstone. I mean, look at the amount of people that he has corrupted with his media empire, and yet just one Jew in the IDF can take the life of a Palestinian. So, yeah, you know, just that one Jew is you know, is the most evil to them, and it's taken a life. Whereas, you know, you've got other Jews that corrupt the minds of millions of people, like this Sumner Redstone. And then you've got Jews like George Soros, who sets off all these revolutions in various countries, Malaysia have called him an economic war criminal. I mean, he took down the economy of Malaysia. He took down the economy of Thailand. He broke the Bank of England.
Do you know something, though, Sam?
What's that?
They couldn't do it, though. As clever as they are, and as devious and as mischievous and as criminal as they are, they couldn't do it without help from guys. Couldn't do it without help from guys.
They
bribed away. Traitors, and to be quite honest, you know, I could list a few of them on equal par with you know, what we're talking about today. Because, as you say, the traitors, without a doubt, and need a bullet.
Well, they're just as, you know, well, they're worse. I mean, the Jew is just behaving in the natural way that he behaves. That's just his biology that makes him behave like this. Whereas we've got a choice. We don't have to behave like it. We can reject it. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're capable of doing that, and we should be doing that. But a lot of our people just go along with it. They say, see the glitter and the gold and the trinkets, and they want them.
And they
have no loyalty to their own people. They ignore their intuition. Singer faces
are coming to mind. You know when you're saying that, because they've sold out. The prostitutes. That's what they are. They sold out, and the Jews couldn't do it without them. At the end of the day, hopefully one day there will be some payback.
Well, this is another thing. You say they couldn't do without them. I mean, George Soros's revolutions. He has this open society organization that goes around the world, and it sponsors these so-called human rights organizations, which is just basically promoting homosexuality and forced immigration.
Yeah.
But these human rights places, I mean, Russia is they've outlawed them. They said that they have to say where they're getting their money from, and if they're not getting their money from Russia, then they're working for a foreign government, foreign country. Agents of a foreign country. They have to be listed as this is an agency working for a foreign country to undermine the country that it's in. It's not just George Soros's ones. I mean, Amnesty International as well. They work in these other countries to undermine the sovereign governments there. You won't hear them talking about anybody that's been jailed for talking about gas chambers or Jews being made into soap. You know, these people that are inside prison for years for that, Amnesty International, you won't hear a peep out of them.
No, well, I think that's funded by Rockefeller, I think. And another one what's funded as well, I think, is the WWF, which is owned by the Crown, and that's another cover. You know, when the royal family is saying that, you know, they're looking after the wildlife, at the same time Prince Philip's hunting for a white rhinoceros to shoot. Then
some, perverted
about it all.
Well, I think the charities, I mean, we could do a whole program on charities and how corrupt they are. They're all just fronts for money laundering. These charities where they send these textiles to Africa, where everyone gives their clothes away to the Negroes, apparently that's destroyed completely the textile industry in Africa, because they've got all these free clothes coming in from charities from the Western world.
I'll tell you what does my head in, Sven. When I pick up my TV remote, and on comes give £2 a week to save, you know, an African who's got no water or poisoned water. And then week after, give £3 a month and buy yourself a polar bear. And all this, you know, it's all... Nothing goes to these places at all. Nothing. It's just one big con.
Well, it's actually the opposite, I think, of charity, because charity is supposed to be an act, like a way that you feel charitable. You're charitable to people. You know, you take pity on someone and you help them out, and it's supposed to be, you know, you see somebody and you are charitable to them. You know, you just in the way that you act. It's a way that you're supposed to behave. It's not supposed to be a business. You know, we have an actual desire to be charitable, and these businesses are preying on that and to siphon the money out from us. And they're not actually helping people. And it's working against
us. Well, they've actually brought a law. You can't give money to beggars.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. They're preventing you from being charitable by having these charities.
It's not in their nature, because the government, say you're giving money to a beggar, you know, it's your choice whether you do or you don't, you know, they think, we could do with that money, you know. That's how they think.
And this is, again, this is the philanthropy thing. I mean, George Soros, again, he is supposedly philanthropic and gives money away, but again, it's scholarships for Negroes. And to sponsor communists to study abroad.
Well, speaking of communists, what's your thoughts on Stalin? Do you think he was a Jew?
I don't know if he was a Jew. I know that he had Jewish wives. I mean, I hadn't put him in this list because you don't know for certain that he is a Jew. I mean, he did have these Jewish wives, and some people say that he was Jewish, but I don't know if there's any
His actual name is... Well, his real name means son of a Jew as well, doesn't it? I mean, but they do try and cover that one up, but rightly so, because he's, you know, well known as a mass killer. They don't really want to be you know, all the other Jewish mass killers in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. You know, the names are, you know, well buried, where Stalin isn't. So there is, I think there's an element of that. But like you said, I mean, he sits down at a table every morning with a Jewish wife, with Jewish kids. I've actually got a photograph of him somewhere dressed like a Jew. It's one I found on the internet. So my suspicions are that he probably was. And if so, you know, I've lived up to the thing that what we're talking about early on about, you know, mass killings and making everybody miserable.
It's just in their blood, isn't it? I mean, there's a recent book that's been released, which is sort of trying to get people to question whether Stalin was really as bad as people make out. And they're trying to say that that he took out all these Jews, and he was against this Jewish conspiracy that he found out about, and that the show trials were all actually genuine. I don't know how much credibility you can give to that, but I think it has actually been written by a nationalist. But occasionally you see in the comments section, you see people saying, oh, well, you know, Stalin wasn't that bad, and, you know, he united the country, and he sorted things out after the Bolshevism. But you think, well, hang on a minute, what about the Holodomor? You know, what about what he did to Ukraine? You know, he may have got rid of a few Jews in his immediate circle, the Trotskyites, but that doesn't stop him from being this mass murderer that murdered millions of white Christians.
No, I mean, like, you know, I mean, probably the figure given to him is probably way under what it really was, because all the countries, all the parts of the Soviet Union where the Germans actually occupied at some point, everybody suffered because in his eyes they were unclean. They'd been indoctrinated by the Germans. Didn't matter how old you was, you're either shoved off to the farthest parts of Siberia to a gulag or executed. So God knows how many millions that was. But the other one, of course, which springs to mind, and first time I ever heard his name, I was thinking about this, and I think I was a young lad and had some money on me. And somebody said to me, who do you think you are, a Rothschild? And for such a famous family, you know, they're very, very rarely seen in public. They never actually spoke of on television, on the news. You know, they just go about the business of breaking up the world and making everybody miserable nice and quietly. So that's another one. Although I don't believe that they're actually practicing Jews, I think. I think they're practicing Luciferian, but... You know, again, very stealth-like, these Jews. Very, you know, under the radar a lot of the time.
Well, they're the architects of the whole banking system, really, is the Rothschilds, the Rothschilds.
Exactly, yeah.
You've got the Warburgs and their Schiffs and these other Jewish bankers that all spread out from there. So that their whole system goes back to the Jews. This whole usurious system that we have goes back to the Jews. But it goes, I think, you know, it really goes back to them collectively, because that's what they've done, is lent out money at usurious rates. And
well, that red hexagon that they have, like, is just inverted to a blue for the Israeli flag, because Rothschilds own a big portion of Israel. And they're behind all the attempts to get the Palestinians out. You know, again, you know, very stealth-like, but, you know, very... I mean, they run most of the world anyway with the infiltration. I mean, you know, Germany gives a nuclear submarine to Israel. Like, you know, it's a problem, you know, because Rothschilds, you know, the banking system over there, like, you know, they tell Merkel what to do. You know, they tell Obama what to do. And no doubt tell the Queen what to do, or advisor. I think they're all in it together then, in that cesspit in the city of London. But yeah, I mean, it's all controlling, and but very stealth-like, and it's not like, you know, you see a statue of a Rothschild anywhere.
No, they do try to keep themselves hidden, and these ones today, again, they try to put themselves across as philanthropists. As if they're not really involved in the banking anymore. But, you know, I mean, after Waterloo, they took over Britain's banking system, basically, by crashing it.
This boom and bust has been going on for centuries. It's just like new generations don't really realise it. But in the UK, I feel like that we've been in a recession most of my life. You know, it's like, you know, for one reason or another, like, you know, we can't get pay rises, or, you know, food prices go up and wages stay down. It's just been, it's like a manipulated concept, which has been going on all of my life, I know for sure. You know, whether I've been earning good money or not, there's always been a recession on somewhere in England.
Well, this again, this is it. You think you can contrast Stalin, as in one man who killed all these people, and again, you've got I think it was Yagoda or Yehuda, that, you know, he was the NKVD Jew.
Nice chap.
That was responsible for you know, these horrific murders. Horrific tortures of white Christians. And you contrast that to the banks that take away people's homes, that turf people out on the streets, that suck the wealth from people for 50 or 60 years, just to pay for the roof above their heads. So you can contrast the two. You know, you've got.
I think it stands at the moment. Well, it's all evil, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I think it stands at the moment that I think if you miss three mortgage payments, then you've got the threat of court action and bailiffs. I'm pretty sure it's three mortgage payments, because rightly so, this moment in time in Britain, there's a huge land grab by the banks where people, and it's never reported in mainstream news. You know, people are getting turfed out of their houses. There's some cases on YouTube. One guy from Mostyn in Manchester, single parent with two girls, was thrown out the house. He owed some money, and that debt then escalated to £6,000. And he was told that if he didn't pay it by such a date, he would be evicted. It then escalated. Don't ask me how, but it escalated to nearly £72,000. And they didn't use bailiffs to evict him. They used the police. He had like a dozen tooled up helmets, knee armour, body armour, all crashing through his door to throw him and his two daughters out. Communism. That's what it is. It's communism. Well,
this is just
it's Nazis, but it's communism.
They use the police as their private bailiffs. I mean, a deal or a contract is a private thing. It's a civil matter. It's not a police matter. The police getting involved in chucking people out of their homes, you know, is actually against the law. But they seem to just get away with it. That's just the way that it is. I mean, it's in the bank's business. Yeah. It's in their best interest for somebody not to actually pay the money back, because the bank has just created this money from nothing that they've given to them. So they put no investment into it. And then if somebody can't afford to pay it back, they can then move in there, take the house. And then they've actually got a physical something that's worth something. They've actually got
this property. Yeah, they could sell that and make hundreds of thousands, couldn't they? You know, it's like...
Yeah.
It's business to them, and we're facing this at the moment, but you'll never hear about it on Murdoch's channel or the BBC or wherever. You know, if it weren't for the internet, I wouldn't know myself.
Well, they don't tell you the news that matters. I mean, this is just it, but because they control, or they did up until the internet came out, they controlled the information that we were able to receive of what was going on in the world. They controlled that and fed misinformation to us. This is why so many people, went along with the war. This is why people, you know, went along with going after... in Iraq, going after Saddam Hussein, and went along with this war in Serbia, all these wars that people have gone along with, is because they were fed false information. Because
same tactic all the time, isn't it? Demonize the leader, and everybody thinks, you know, we're the good guys. Like you said, it's all false information all the time.
Well, this goes back to Rothschild, because he bought Reuters and the Associated Press, so you can say that you've got a plurality of news stations, but where they get their news from is either Associated Press or Reuters, and both of them go back to Rothschild. And I think both of them used to be outside the MI6 building as well. So, you know, you've got the news companies for the world that have got, you know, the original stuff that goes out. So they edit it before it even gets to the TV company. So even, exactly. even if you've got somebody decent at the TV company, you know, they're not actually going to be able to tell you the truthful news because it's been edited before it even gets there. And then you've got the intelligence agencies next door that are telling them how it's got to be, and they're all working together. And I think the Rothschilds were involved in spying as well. There's certain members of the family that have been accused of being double agents for Russia and been involved in spying as well. I don't know if you've heard of those ones, Dennis.
Well, it doesn't surprise me if they have, you know. But again, you know, when people say that Hitler was a Rothschild, and actually, I think I've mentioned this before, where he ran someone off when he annexed Austria. You know, I think it's a world record fee. I think it was $22 million then, which is like $220 million today. You know, and one of the Rothschilds' wives was died of typhus in one of the camps in France. You know, so I don't think he was a friend of the Rothschilds in no way whatsoever.
Anyway, when you look at the film, I mean, they exposed what they did. Shares in Waterloo, I think the film is called. And there's an English, either English subtitles or an English dubbed version of that that people can find online. It's well worth looking at all of the German films that were produced at that time, because they're all exposing this, aren't they?
Yeah, well, this is the thing, you see. Hitler educated his population, and this is why they were so much behind him. And even in real bad times, there was no moving him, because they knew that Hitler was right. What alternative was there? You know, if he overturned Hitler and surrendered, he wasn't going to change anything. You know, they knew what were coming, and it came anyway.
And you imagine what a force for good the media could be, television and film could be, if it was putting across a wholesome message, like the Third Reich were, exposing Freemasonry, exposing the Jews, banking system and the banking swindle that they had, not showing anybody dying on film that went off to
It's all porn and gore and blood. And I tell you that, you know, when my children were young, it got to a point where I had to actually show them videos, because I couldn't send them out onto the streets when all the other kids were watching all these horror movies, and they were so much worldly. If I sent out, you know, my children with just watching Little Red Riding Hood or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, they'd have got eaten alive, you know. And so I had to go against some principles just to wise them up. You know, they'd watch some films which probably I would never have watched at a certain age, but what can you do? You know, they're just going to be slaughtered to the lambs.
Well, I suppose one thing you can say about these horror movies is that it's always the promiscuous ones that get offed by the monster. You know, they've always just been promiscuous, and then they get attacked. So you do get that moral in the horror movies that you don't see in any other genre. You know, they try to get rooting for the promiscuous ones. They try to make the hero out to, you know, to be promiscuous or deceitful, just by putting a Jew in the leading role, you know, it's deceiving people. Yeah. You know, having these heroic Jews running around saving the day, but they're always flawed heroes. They're always you know, sexually promiscuous, or they thieve, or they're gamblers and what have you. I mean, even look at James Bond. You know, sleeping with all these women. But if it's a horror movie, and you know, you always see that they've just had sex, and then they get attacked by the monster.
They even throw a bit of bestiality into it as well. When the girl's falling in love with King Kong.
Again, you got the promotion of race mixing with Star Trek and Star Wars. I mean, they've even got Negroes in the new Star Wars. I don't know how Nero's ever got into space. If you've seen some of these YouTubes that you see of the helicopters they've invented and the aeroplanes they've invented, hope in hell of getting into space, and yet somehow they've managed to make it there in the new Star Wars.
Yeah, well, you know, I heard that the actual motion industry picture industry off Edison. Edison was the first one to invent, you know, the moving pictures, but you don't hear nothing about that. You know, there's one or two things that the Jews have hijacked along the way. I think Einstein hijacked a couple and all while they were at it.
Well, yeah, he worked in a patent office, didn't he? So well, yeah, all the patterns went past him, and anything he wanted, he could just put that in his pocket, couldn't he?
Exactly. I mean, he didn't leave Berlin for no reason. You know, you know, when Hitler were closing all the nightclubs down and all the sex shops and things, he didn't leave for no reason.
Well, again, this brings me to Sigmund Freud. I mean, that's one that I'd forgotten. But look at Sigmund Freud. I mean, the perversity that he brought on the world. I mean, he even said he was bringing a curse to America. When he went to America, it was a curse that he was going to unleash on the Americans through his psychotherapy. And it was all based on the Jews. It wasn't based on white people and the way they think. It was based on the warped ideology of the Jew and the madness that the Jew feels. You know, to look at the Talmud, the pedophilia and the incest and all the rest of it, that it shows you that that's what they desire to do. So you've got Freud analysing these Jews that think like that and then transposing it onto white people and saying the reason white people behave the way they are is because of this, because they fancy their mother or they want to kill their father or what have you. And you've got all these psychoses then being put onto white people. And at the same time, you've got the Frankfurt Institute. Responsible for cultural Marxism today. You know, Max Horkheimer, Theodore Adorno, Herbert Marcuse, Eric Fromm. Now, all of this cultural Marxism and this political correctness can be traced back to them. So everyone now censors what they think and censors what they say, thanks to these Jews. I mean, they've had a massive effect, haven't they?
Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld, who has a college or a university of perverted sex in Berlin, where they used to design clothes for the flasher, where he could walk down the street and then just have a ready-made opening in his trousers so he could flash these women. It's just perversion, just pure perversion. And he left Berlin in a hurry as well, I believe.
Well, that guy got carried on by Kenzie in America, didn't it? Falsifying his results.
Right.
Yeah, paying pedophiles to abuse children so that he could then get, and then taking down what the pedophiles told him and including that in his research. And the Jews make a film about him, making him out to be some kind of hero.
No doubt. Yeah, well, again, the film industry, so what do they not own? I mean, let's give them credit where credit's due. I mean, you know, they are devious, and as Hitler said, no match, you know, for America has no idea what we're coming. When the Eastern, at least in Europe, with the Eastern European Jews, it was well known what there was like. They were kicked out many countries, you know. But when they emigrated to America, I think America was a little bit green, to say the least, what they were letting in the country, because they're unaware of this, you know, the way that these people work, and it didn't take them long to get their roots into the place, and be it the mafia, or be it in Hollywood, or be it in, you know, government, you know, they get the claws in there for 2% of a nation, as they were in Germany, and as they are in the US today. What can you say? They are a parasite.
They can't help the way that they work. I mean, it's not a big conspiracy. They're not all meeting together once a week and deciding what they're going to do next. What they do intuitively.
Comes natural.
Whatever's best for the Jews. You know, I bet they don't understand why they're actually doing what they're doing a lot of the time. But they just do it. They just side with these certain groups.
Instinct.
Because that's instinctually what they feel they should do.
Yeah, exactly. And this thing about Tech Syria, for instance, when they're funding ISIS, you know, they're getting other people to fight wars for them, whether it be, you know, as in ISIS case, or even in, you know, the UK or in the US, these armies are going out there fighting on Israel's behalf. Most people don't understand or realise this, but that's exactly what they do, the guy is nothing to them. It means absolutely nothing. It's as low as an animal. So when these Americans are coming back in body bags and the British are coming back in body bags, it means nothing to the Jew, because they look at it as a subservient, and they're the They had the master race, not the Aryan German, which again has been put on Hitler and the Nazis. All the while, it was the Jews.
Well, it's very confusing for people because I mean, people are looking around and they're thinking, well, hang on a minute, why is our government doing this to us? Why is it importing these people? Why is it replacing us? Why is it promoting homosexuality? Why is it promoting all these perversities and encouraging single parents and feminism? Why is our government doing this? And a lot of people, they just don't understand the fact that the government's been occupied by Jews for the last century and a half, more than that even.
I'll give you an example. Obviously, like, you know, my lads are pretty clued up on everything. Last thing they'd ever do is go and fight a war in Iraq for this country because they know exactly the situation. So, but I was watching the Eurovision Song Contest a couple of years ago, and when the bearded lady was on singing a song, and people that I knew and the people who the wife knew could not understand what a man in a dress with a beard was doing. And immediately, as soon as he came on the screen, I looked at one of my lads and one of the lads looked at me, and we both knew the score. And this androgynous singer was there for one reason only, he's pushing that agenda. And right at the very end, it gave a speech and said something on the lines that, you know who you are, we cannot be stopped. Now I know exactly what you were saying, or it were saying. It's all part of this this breakdown of resistance. You know, if you can get more homosexuals into the workplace and break up the family, break up nationalism, influx with immigrants, suddenly, you know, within a generation or two, like these, the population has no sense of being. No, you know, the country means nothing to them. And this is exactly what the Jews want, because then they can just play along with what they want, and that's exactly what they're doing at the moment.
Well, I bet you knew instantly as well that Conchita Wurst was going to win the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should say that, because I found out after. Right, the first time that she entered the qualifying heats to try and get in, and they voted back in Austria, she didn't win. The time she got through, they decided not to have a public vote, but a panel of eight, and they chose her to go through. Surprise, surprise.
Well, it's like the Japanese Negress, you know, a Negress winning the Miss Japan beauty contest. You know, the only reason she entered that was because she was a Negress and because of this program to push diversity. That's why she won that. I mean, the creature's hideous, and the Japanese are all up in arms about it. You know, and they are confused about it. They're saying, you know, what is this? How can you call this a Miss Japan when it's a Negro? But that's why. You know, that's why she was put in there for that competition, and that's why this Conchita Wurst was put in for that competition, because it's run by Jews, and that's what they're trying to push. They're trying to break down all the identity that we have. They broke down our religious identity. They've broken down our national identity. They're breaking down our gender identity. And I was watching Alexander Dugin the other day. I mean, he's a very controversial figure, but he was saying that eventually where this leads to is you cease to be human. They break down the human identity. And then there is no more humanity. And what he means by that is that there's no more humane behavior. Because to be a human is to be humane. You know, it's charity, justice, mercy.
Yeah.
You know, these things that you associate with being human or humane, and we will lose all of that, and that will become optional.
Well,
which is what it already is becoming optional. When it, you know, the Jews trying to make you feel that that's optional as concerned with the Palestinians. You know?
Well, there has to be an agenda. You know, there has to be a reason why there's an attack on Christianity. There has to be a reason why there's an attack on Palestine. There's certain reasons why they want a war with Iran. And it goes back to the satanic nature. You can't forget this satanic influence of the Rothschilds and of people in high power in America who are quite openly at times, you know, admitting that, you know, they don't believe in Christ or God. They're openly Luciferian. Because when you think about it, there's a non-stop war on Christianity. under the Dome of Rock in Jerusalem, lays the ruins of Solomon's Temple, and that's the quest of these Luciferian Jews to build that temple again. Now, to build that temple, they have to destroy the Palestinians, or either eliminate them or get rid of them, which is what they're doing. They've got to take over any military armies down there. They've got to wipe out, or seem to be one in war with, which is Iran is a perfect example. And two, subjugate all the Muslim countries around them, so that they can do this. They can knock this dome down, build up the temple, ready for the Antichrist. It all fits in the master plan. Whether people listening believe in all this or not, it doesn't really matter. They believe in it, and this is the target. There's reasons why Palestine has shrunk to practically nothing, in the last 60, 50 years. And so you can't forget that satanic agenda, because somebody once said as well that Jews don't like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, and I don't deny that.
Well, I'm sure it is, and just talking of Solomon there, I mean, one of these ways that they attack us is through their pornography and through the promotion of feminism, but Solomon was supposedly the wisest man in the world, and yet he was corrupted, and he was corrupted by women. 1,000 different wives he had, foreign wives. So right back then, you got supposedly the wisest man in the world, and yet the power of a scantily clad woman, can take over that. It goes right the way back to then. And the Jews have used that all through history. They've used their women and men's natural weakness for women to get their own agenda across. I mean, it's the same thing with feminism, really. I mean, it's women use their feminine wiles to get around men, and men aren't strong enough to resist it.
Well, I'll give you a sample of that about women being stronger, because it is quite right what you're saying about feminist movements. But in relationships, for instance, in teenage relationships especially. How many times you hear of the boyfriend hanging himself because he split up from his girlfriend?
Quite a lot.
And how many times you hear of a girl hanging herself?
Well, you don't. You don't really hear of many women committing suicide as it is. It's always men, and it gets younger and younger, and the amount of them goes up yearly, and we don't hear about it.
Exactly. So, this thing about him being, stronger in many ways is true, because men are more suspect to emotions than women. Prime example with Thatcher, cold as ice. Did that actually breathe?
That's just the way that they are. I mean, they're there to produce children, and they're there to look after their children, and it's their children that they care about. The rest of the world, they're not interested in. Not interested in anyone else. They'll put on a show to get along, but essentially, their role is to look out for their children. And even that's been blocked.
Put it this way, if you think Bush's and Obama's, whatever, you just wait till Hillary gets in.
Yeah, well, hopefully Hillary won't get in. I mean, at the Daily Stormer, we're promoting Donald Trump. We think he's the best of the bad bunch. I mean, he's speaking out against immigration. He's made his money himself, so he's not beholden to these other interests. So he does have some good points, whereas the others have no good points whatsoever. Go on.
Well, the point I'm making, though, Sven, right, is about 2.5 years ago, I was listening to a guy talking on one of the radio shows, and at that time, I think Hillary Clinton she had an operation on her, she'd been in some actions or something on her brain or something, and she had to pull out of politics for a while. And he actually said on that program that she's already been chosen. Hillary's already been chosen for the next president. So subsequently, she came back, recovered, and has now thrown her hat into the race. So it'd be interesting to see that, because she was nowhere to be seen at that time. This guy said that.
Well, it's the same thing was said about Obama, wasn't it? Before Obama.
I believe that.
He's been picked to be the president. He was unknown. You know, there's a thing floating around the internet that says that somebody, I forget where it was, was saying that he was promoted by the communists and he was to do with the Communist Party.
Well, you know, when you look at his record, like, you know, his record on Christianity is woeful. Banned the nativity thing at Christmas, put a menorah up at the White House. Only the other week, put the homosexual rainbow up on the White House. So far away from Christianity as you can get. Plus, it drones everybody every day, at least somebody every day. Where Bush you could hear coming. Bush you could hear the clatter of his shoes coming down the hall. Obama was a different animal, like, but just as deadly, if not more so.
Oh, yeah. And again, there's rumours that Obama's part Jewish, that his mother, Stanley, that's a Jewish name, if there was one.
Last gender, according to Joe Rivers. And she didn't last long after she said that.
So it's not, you know, it's not just the male Jews that are dangerous. It's these female Jews as well, not just for them producing these other Jews, but all these feminist Jews. You know, you've got Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem. The whole movement of feminism is a Jewish movement.
Well, exactly, and they kind of do it in a way where the ordinary folk look at it and say, "Oh, that's quite moral to that, you know. Women should be able to earn their own money. They should be able to earn and work in the workplace, etc." This double agenda is where they can get kids in school earlier. They can, you know, they can now tax all the nation instead of just half the nation. You know, people, you know, they are what they are. You know what I mean? And they've had hundreds of thousands of years of perfecting the way to screw a nation, and no doubt, if they're not at some time totally eliminated, they'll carry on for the next millennium.
Tune in to Radio Stormer on thedailystormer.com.
So you've got feminism. Again, you think, how many people has that affected? How many young children have not got a mother that's bringing them up, that's got a mother that's working, or hasn't got a father there because their feminist mother has ditched the father?
Well, the state's the parent, isn't it?
Yeah.
The state is the parent.
So you've got this, you know, in a way, it's almost these inventions that the Jews come up with are just as evil as the Jews themselves. I mean, it requires the Jews to come up with them and implement them, but the actual ideas they come up with are just, so wicked and evil and harmful to us.
The same thing happened to me when I think about it, then, because remember when I did the documentary, I'd been to school as a kid and came back home and questioned my father about the Holocaust. So they were drilling it into me then. And it's only because of what he told me and over the years, and then eventually the internet coming and managed to do the documentary, that all that took place. But when thinking about it, even then I was being indoctrinated at that age, which probably only about 10.
It's how they work collectively. I really don't think we can come up with the world's worst Jew or the world's most evil Jew, because it's a collective effort.
It comes as one.
It's a collective effort by them. And even the odd one that you think, well, they're not so bad. You know, like people will point to Brother Nathaniel and they say, well, he's not so bad. Look, he's exposing the Jews.
Oh, another one, yeah.
Yeah, but then you think... But they are just lulling people into a false sense of security, because then people think, well, it's not all Jews. And even Brother Nathaniel, or Nathaniel Kapner, I should call him, he's none of our brother, Nathaniel Kapner, he doesn't expose the Holocaust, and he won't talk about what Hitler did as being good. He will still subscribe to Hitler being the bad guy. And then you think, well, okay, he's exposing these Jews, but what happens if he gets a Jewish wife and produces a Jewish child, and the Jewish child becomes the head of the Anti-Defamation League or something? Later on down the line, you know, these Jews that are supposedly not so bad, they could well have offspring that behave normally, because these so-called good ones are the exception, or they are the exception to the rule. That's all they are.
Well, Yeah, well, in a way, it's a little bit like if you've got 1,000 rattlesnakes outside your house trying to get in, do you open the door for a couple of good ones to get in and risk the complete amount of rattlesnakes coming, forcing their way in? They come as one, that's the problem.
It's a collective unit. That's what they are. And you just have to...
That's the strength, isn't it? Yeah, it is the strength.
It's like, with this attack in Tunisia with these Muslims, this Muslim that shot 38 white British people. And in the media, they keep saying, well, what about, these really good Muslims that tried to protect, these white people? Well, what about them? It doesn't negate the fact that it was still a Muslim that shot them all. Muslims are dangerous. One Muslim murdered 38 white people. It doesn't matter anything that there were some Muslims that tried to protect them, because you've still got 38 dead white people, thanks to Muslims. And it's the same with Jews. You've got the odd Jew that isn't as harmful as the rest, but that doesn't negate everything that the rest of them have done. And you will still support them in the important ways. He will still bring up the Holocaust hoax and use that as to attack white people with, if we start criticising them.
Play the victim all the time, and how can you play the victim when you're actually exterminating Palestine? But yet, because of the control of the press, because of the countries they've got under their thumb, they can get away with it. I mean, even if the Holocaust took place, it would have only lasted three, four years. They've been doing it for nearly 70 years to Palestine, and no one said a word. But yet they're still the victim, because every time I switch on TV, I see a Holocaust programme. And yet I've never seen one gas Jew yet.
Well, there's not one autopsy. Not one autopsy report of a gas Jew. But what they do, it's exactly like that old proverb, the Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. And that's exactly what he does. He cries out that he's the victim while he's attacking you. That's the modus operandi. It's been the same throughout history. So, to conclude this programme, I really don't think we can find the world's worst Jew.
They come as one.
One unit, and we need to reject every single one of them.
Hitler thought Madagascar, didn't he? But, I tend to think Siberia.
Well, you got Birobidzhan in Russia.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
he could always be sent there. Even if they did get sent to Israel, or Palestine, at least they would be out of white countries. That would be better than having them in our countries.
We can cheat themselves then, can't they?
Yeah, sort it out between them. Okay, Dennis. If you want to remind people of where they can find your work, Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and Communism by the Back Door, and what's the exact name of those websites where they can find them?
Well, the website for The Greatest Story Never Told is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. There will be a website for Communism by the Back Door, but because it's not finished yet, we're not really pushing that side. You can catch it on YouTube. Probably by this time next week, part 9 will be up, but I do warn people, download it if you like what you see, because I don't think it's going to be up that long once the word gets around, because it's brutal and it's honest, which means YouTube don't like it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we do hope you'll tune in again next time for another Truth Will Out Radio.